This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Quentin Kidd is a professor of government at Christopher Newport University. He is an expert in Southern politics and one of the dean of political sciences here in Virginia. It's always an honor to have him on the program. Quentin, how you doing, buddy?
It's always good to be on the program, Coy. Doing well. How are you?
Very good. Now, let me ask you about this. We just listened, and you were listening to it. There was a Robert Hurt campaign commercial, which literally just ran before we went back on the air here, that mentioned, I wrote it down, something about that that Tom Perriello was a rubber stamp for the Pelosi-Obama administration. Now, you as a political scientist studying government, is that your take on it, or is that that's the spin?
I can tell you why that's very effective. Americans, by wide margins, think Washington works better when it's divided, when one party controls, say, the House and the other party controls the White House. Americans like divided government. So one of the most effective critiques that the Republicans and the Tea Party supporters have leveled against Democratic candidates this year is that they're just a rubber stamp. There's no check on the system, basically. And so that's where that's coming from. Americans, wide margin, 60-70% say that they think Washington would work better if power was divided. And because really, what people want is for congressmen and women and the president to come together, compromise, figure out how to solve problems. They don't like this bickering partisanship, and they think that if the Democrats control the White House, if Republicans control Congress, that some compromise will get done and things will get done.
Yeah. We're talking with Quentin Kidd. The phone lines are open if you have a question, 977-1070. The great irony, of course, Quentin, is that history shows us that, at least at the national level, the history of American politics has always been characterized by partisanship bickering. It goes back to Jefferson. That's always been the case. There never was this golden age of happiness and compromise.
No, I think you're right. I mean, but I think the root of the desire for us to not have partisan bickering and to have something that's more sort of workman or yeoman like goes back to the Jefferson era. Jefferson didn't want political parties, and he didn't envision an American democracy with political parties. He envisioned individuals going to Washington or Richmond, solving the problems of the people, and then coming back to their homes and living. And so when parties came along, it injected this sort of partisanship division into American popular culture, into American political culture, that people, it's sort of in our blood that we still haven't sort of decided we like. And so I think that's where our frustration is.
Yeah. So, Quentin, tell us your read on the 5th District race here. Congressman Perriello, of course, on this program in about a half hour, I guess, 25 minutes. President Obama coming to Charlottesville tomorrow evening to speak on the downtown mall to help get out the vote for Congressman Perriello. So from where you sit, what's your read on the 5th District?
Well, the 5th District is a conservative district. It's a naturally Republican-leaning district, and Perriello won by razor-thin margins last time. And the way he won is there were a lot of young voters that came out of the Charlottesville area and voted for Perriello. And the Democrats, I think, all the polling shows Perriello behind right now. It fluctuates. It depends on which poll you're looking at. But all the polls are showing him behind. And the polls are starting to show Robert Hurt get at the 50% mark and a little bit above. And the Democrats, I think, realize that the only chance they have to reelect Perriello is to get voters out of Charlottesville again to come out and vote, students and young people. I think that's why you saw Perriello on the Colbert Report last night, and that's why you see the president coming to Charlottesville today, to try to energize those UVA kids and the young people that live in Charlottesville, and to say, you guys got to get out to vote. This is the chance we have. This is how we're going to do it if we're going to do it.
So the latest Survey USA poll shows Hurt up by 51 to 43, I think it was, with 4% undecided. But if I hear you right, you're saying that Perriello could actually win if there's a high voter turnout in Charlottesville.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is the only chance he has to win is if there's a high voter turnout out of Charlottesville. If there's not if the young vote is not there, the 18 to 24 year old, the 18 to 29 year old, if that vote is not there, he has no chance of winning. And the young vote hasn't been excited and energized up to this point. And what Democrats are trying to do is to inject some energy and excitement into that young vote, the young American, the youth vote, because that's the chance they have to win. If they don't do that, I think the odds are really slim. I probably wouldn't put any money on it, just to tell you how slim I think they are.
Yeah, of a Perriello victory.
Of a Perriello victory, right?
Yeah. What do you think? And do you think that the hurt? What has resonated with the voters, you know, and I'm not talking about the voters who already decided before the campaigns even started, the left, the far left and the far right, the people who made up their mind years ago, and
right.
they're going to vote party no matter what. Most of the folks in Virginia and in the nation are that big bubble of folks who tend to, vote left on some days and vote right on other days, mostly what's going on in their own life and who interests them most. What do you think it is that has convinced those voters in the 5th District to go with Hurt?
About a third of Americans generally are independent. They don't align with the Republican or Democratic Party. They kind of vote the person. They vote as often as they vote for. So they voted against Bush and for Obama in 2008. And Perriello rode that surge into office. And now, a lot of those third, a vast majority of those third now, are frustrated at what's going on in Washington. They're taking their frustration out on Democrats. And Perriello has to bear the burden of that frustration. And the Hurt campaign has made every point, taken as much opportunity as they could to say, Perriello is a part of what you're frustrated with in Washington. And that indictment has stuck for a lot of those moderates.
Yeah. We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University's Department of Government. Quentin, before we leave the 5th District, I remember a couple of years ago I was at a debate. In fact, I was the timekeeper for that debate between Virgil Good and Tom Perriello down in Danville when Virgil Good was running for re-election in 08. And I remember very clearly somebody yelled out during the debate, "Get him, Virgil. He's not one of us."
Yeah.
And we just heard in the Robert Hurt campaign commercial here now 2 years later, this line, he's their congressman, not ours. What is behind that? What is that all about?
You know, there's a populist sort of anti-Washington streak that runs through a lot of America, not just Southern America, but a lot of America, populist anti-Washington streak. And it used to have a real racial tinge to it. It used to be associated with Jim Crow laws and sort of Southern sort of nostalgia. And I think right now it's associated with Wall Street bailouts and spending out of control and us locally not seeing any benefit of that. And so we're all paying for it, but we're not benefiting from it. And the fat cats in Washington and Wall Street are. I think that's where a lot of that's coming from right now. It's always been around. It takes on different flavors. It puts on different clothing depending upon what issue is important in any given election. But it's kind of a populist sort of they're not looking out for us. They're not like us.
Yeah, but I guess what baffles me is the TARP plan, which gave Wall Street the majority of the money that they used benefited, paid these CEOs who ran their companies into the ground. And gave them public money so they could keep their salaries and their wealthy mansions and pay their managers billions in bonuses. That was a Bush plan that came out of the Bush White House.
You're right, but it happened at such a time where Bush and the Republicans who controlled Congress could pass it, and then they left town, and they left it to the Democrats to implement it. They left it to the Obama administration to implement it, and so the Obama administration gets tagged with it. It's just an unfair consequence of politics. When the economy does really well, the president gets credit. When the economy does poorly, the president gets blamed. And in this particular case, the Obama administration supported a lot of other stimulus measures, and they all got lumped together in the minds of voters, I think. And the Bush people are out of town. I mean, you can't blame them if they're not sitting in office.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd, an expert on Southern and Virginia politics. Honored to have him back on the program. You can join this conversation at 977-1070. Quentin, what's your read on the effect of the Tea Party in Virginia? Now, in other states and in other races, we're seeing a much bigger effect. Tea Party candidates that have won Republican Party nominations, and they're making, you know, front page news, it seems, almost every day, usually with some kind of gaffe, but news nonetheless. They're staying in the media. What do you think is the effect of the Tea Party here in Virginia?
Well, it hasn't been nearly the effect that it's been around in some other parts of the country, and I think that's because the Republican Party in Virginia has struggled over whether it's going to be socially conservative and reactionary or whether it's going to be pro-business and moderate. And the socially conservative reactionary side of it has been emboldened in recent years, and they were emboldened just as the Tea Party movement really took off. And so because there wasn't as much frustration about the Republican Party in Virginia, the Tea Party frustration didn't blow up like it did in other parts of the country, you know. So the fact that the Republican Party in Virginia was probably a little bit more socially conservative and reactionary than, say, the Republican Party in Nevada was, the Tea Party movement in Virginia didn't have as much leg room to run with as it did in Nevada, and so it's been incorporated more into the Republican Party in Virginia, I think.
Yeah, I was reading on some blogs recently predicting the future civil war in the Republican Party, as you have those, traditional business Republicans, more moderate Republicans, which I would put Robert Hurt in that camp, actually. Back to sort of it's with its roots in William F. Buckley, and then you have, you know, the more ideological conservative, social conservative with its roots, in the John Birch Society, for example, and sort of
Barry Goldwater,
the Glenn Beck would be the symbol of this movement today. And
sure,
and we're seeing most of the Tea Party align with that faction of the right wing. It's very, very interesting to see this power play getting ready to take shape as they look for a national candidate who will represent the right. Which faction will be represented?
Well, and they're talking about, you know, soon after the election, having a Tea Caucus meeting where they're going to have all the newly elected Republicans, and I assume any Democrat they would want to come. I doubt if there anyone would want to come, but they're going to have a Tea Caucus, and I heard a spokesman say we're not going to invite any Republicans except freshmen, and we're going to hold the line on these issues that we ran on. And so, you know, if people think that Congress is going to run better because Republicans control the House, well, let's wait and see, because if Republicans control the House, but a big block of newly elected Republicans are Tea Party Republicans, it might not work any better, or it might work worse than it is now.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Tim is on the program with us. Tim, you go right ahead, buddy.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question for Mr. Kidd. Several times this week, I guess in the run-up to the election, I've gotten flyers from the Democratic National Convention that are casting dispersion on Jeff Clark in the 5th District race for the congressional seat, and I'm just kind of curious as to why they would feel the need to make him look bad since he seems to be such a marginalized candidate at this point.
You know, I think that's a question. If you look at polling data, some of these third party candidates, especially if they're Tea Party associated or I'm sorry, if they're not Tea Party associated but they're sort of traditional Republican Party associated, the polling shows that they're actually taking voters away from the Democrats right now. And the same thing is happening in the 2nd congressional district race in Virginia Beach, where the Republican Party establishment candidate who didn't win the nomination went off and ran an independent campaign. He's actually taking support away from Glenn Nye. The Democrats want him to get out of the race. So I think what they're looking for...
How do you explain that?
Well, because moderates are frustrated with the Democrats right now in Washington, but they might not be excited about the Tea Party-backed candidate or the candidate the Tea Party supports. And so they go with this sort of moderate, what now appears to be sort of a moderate third-party option, which might have been a former Democratic Republican elected official in the case of Virginia Beach, but now is the moderate middle. And the Democrats look at that and say, well, they're taking votes away from our candidate because these moderates aren't going to go with the Tea Party person. They don't like the Tea Party person. So Democrats have begun seeing these third-party Republican establishment candidates as potential vote takers, taking votes away from their candidate. And so they're trying to get them they're either attacking him or trying to get him out of the race.
Quentin, is this just just another example among the endless thousands in American political history of, you know, American voters in search of strong moderate candidates?
Yeah, I think there's a group of moderate voters out there that aren't hardcore Republicans. They aren't hardcore Democrats. They probably voted Democratic in 2008. They're frustrated at how Democrats have done things for the last 2 years. So they don't really want to vote for Democrats again. But they're not as crazy mad as the Tea Party movement supporters are. And so they're not really willing to go that route. And so they're looking for something in the middle. And some of these Republican establishment candidates who lost primaries to Tea Party candidates and now are running independent races get their votes. You see this happening in the U.S. Senate race in Alaska, where Lisa Murkowski, a write-in candidate, former Republican of a Republican Party establishment figure, might win because she's become the moderate alternative.
Yeah. We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University. Quentin, when we go to the polls on Tuesday, Virginia voters will also be asked yes or no, thumbs up or thumbs down on three proposed constitutional amendments. Can you take a moment to run through these for us?
Yeah, well, they really have to do with exempting property taxes and how big the rainy day fund should be. So one constitutional amendment gives the General Assembly the authority to give local governments the ability to lower their property tax rates for older people, right? So right now, the General Assembly couldn't even do that if they wanted to because the Constitution won't allow it. So this would give the General Assembly the ability to give local governments the ability to lower their property tax rates.
There would be an exception. People would be taxed differently based on being elderly.
Yeah, a community would have to go to the General Assembly and say, we want to do this, for example. You know, so a community, this would give the General Assembly to entertain the request that a community had to lower its property tax rates or to make people older than 65 exempt from income taxes and personal property taxes, right?
Yeah, irregardless of income.
Irregardless of income.
Just age-related.
Right. Age,
okay.
Age only. The second proposed amendment makes veterans 100% service-connected disabilities totally exempt from taxes, from local taxation on their principal residence, right? So it would essentially eliminate taxes on residencies of veterans who are 100% disabled. So right now, it doesn't matter if you're disabled or not. The Constitution simply wouldn't allow the General Assembly to give you that exemption, right?
Okay.
And the third constitutional amendment would increase the rainy day fund from 10% of average taxes collected to 15% of average taxes collected. So it would essentially increase our savings account balance from 10% to 15% of average taxes collected.
Yeah, doesn't increase the taxes, but it says we're going to set aside and not spend a certain amount.
Right,
additional.
Right. It doesn't increase taxes. It simply says we're not going to spend this much in a given year, we're going to put a little bit more of it aside than we normally do.
Interesting. What do you think the chances are for these three?
You know, the odds of these passing are pretty strong. These kinds of constitutional amendments generally pass. They're not controversial. Nobody's out campaigning against them. And you've got organizations like the League of Women Voters and others going around trying to explain in sort of non-lawyer language what they really mean. And it's difficult to say. It's difficult to oppose giving a tax exemption to a 100% disabled veteran. So I imagine they'll pass.
Yeah. So before we let you go, learned recently, just in the last, 48 hours, of the death of Owen Pickett. For those who don't know, Quentin, who was Owen Pickett and what is his significance in the Virginia political history?
Well, you know, he was a member of Congress from Virginia Beach, and the interesting thing about Owen Pickett is he was one of those what today we would call a blue dog Democrat. We might have called him a yellow moderate sort of yellow dog Southern Democrat, a moderate kind of Southern Democrat. Today he would have a hard time probably in Congress because he was a moderate. He wasn't really, he didn't really breathe fire one way or the other. And you know, he was sort of a business-oriented Democrat, kind of a moderate business-oriented Democrat, and we just don't have a lot of those anymore in Congress. He represented the 2nd Congressional District, the Virginia Beach District. William Whitehurst was the member of Congress before him. William Whitehurst was a really – there aren't many William Whitehursts anymore, a moderate Republican. And Ed Schrock came after Owen Pickett. And so, you know, Owen Pickett was just a good moderate member of Congress, and he wasn't a fire breather either way, either a real liberal or a real conservative. And you know, he'll be sorely missed.
Quentin Kidd is the professor of government at Christopher Newport University, joins us on occasion. Quentin, hopefully we might get a chance to chat with you next week after the midterms and get your take on the results.
Let's do it.
Great. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.